The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zoak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now the Bruins will pick up their sticks and gloves and will slowly empty off the bench. Sebastian Aho with two goals, including the game winner. Nino Niederreiter with a pair. Peter Kochetkov, his first ever postseason win, coming on in relief of Antti Raanta. And the Boston Bruins will head back home, down 2-0 in this best-of-7 matchup. Your final tonight, Hurricanes 5, Bruins 2.
Can we get on the horn to Fowler and have him fix the TV again?
Yeah, what's wrong? Actually,
he's more worried about...
No, that's on his end.
He's more worried about programming the show.
There we go.
About time.
Boom, boom. What's up?
Hi. How you doing?
Good game last night, huh?
Wow.
Holy crap.
I mean, where do you want to start?
I'd start with the hit. I mean, I think that's the most interesting thing to come out of the game.
Phenomenal hit. If that's McAvoy laying that hit, we're coming in here today. What a hit. Oh, my God, what a hit. That's a clean hit. That's a clean hit. Said it at the time.
I agree with you.
I haven't heard anybody call it dirty. No, but not anybody. Post-game,
it was debated.
Hockey guys, I mean, you understand why it's debated, because he had a tough time getting up. Now we got to take a look at it. Then he slowed down. His stick broke.
Oh.
His stick was
shattered.
Which is not good for him. Because the stick was not up high at the head. Stick was right here, mid-chest. That's where he delivered the hit.
Oh, stop it. That doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, prove it.
I mean,
I don't know
he broke
stick
his
breaking
stick.
Proves anything.
Oh, so in order to get a contact to the head, you can't touch any other part of the body. Look, it looked like he got him up under the chin and a bit of the head. I'm not going to defer to Jack, who obviously thinks the guy should be arrested.
That's Tommy.
All right.
That's Tommy.
Yeah, call 911. Become Montreal.
Yeah, I'll defer to Jaffe, who said, is it the primary point of contact?
No, that's what they look at, the principal point of contact. And do you think there was any intent there whatsoever?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
To hit him high?
No.
Yeah,
not to
light him
high.
I don't think so.
To deliver the wood.
To take a cheap shot or hit him high? No way.
To deliver the wood?
No way. That's a good hit. That's a great hit. You know what I remember? I remember when the Bruins could deliver hits like those
exactly.
in playoff games.
Milbury said it. Amonte said it last night with Felger. Clean hit.
Are they doing that again?
I don't.
He did a wrap up, I think, on
gotcha.
Late night.
I was looking for it after game one. It wasn't there.
No.
It's the fact that he does get part of the head and it goes back to where. What? What do you throw? What
no,
do you?
I mean, we do this in football too. Like, does he get part of the head? Like, the natural reactions when you get hit. Your neck moves, your head moves. Like, it's, yeah. But he doesn't, like, extend. You know, we've seen dirty hits in hockey.
He hits him right in the sternum. And he does get him up under the chin eventually.
Probably.
I mean, it's a forceful hit.
Could have cracked his sternum.
He's not going to face any discipline for that hit whatsoever.
No,
and the most ridiculous thing after this, though, was that the Bruins ended up shorthanded. Which was an effing joke.
I mean,
the officiating, and that's not why the game went the way it did. We're just griping about officiating because we can.
It's the way I want the Bruins to hit.
I mean,
it's the way
the
I want
scrums
the
that
hit.
Happened after this hit were ridiculous to end up having the Bruins be shorthanded. Man, he gets rocked.
I mean,
a hit.
It's like a train wreck. That's like Gronkowski and Earl Thomas, you know, knocking him, breaking his back almost.
It's a great hit. I wish the Bruins had a hit like that.
I don't like that he leaves the ice with his
right foot stays though.
Yeah, his back foot is on the ice.
He didn't like go up and through.
And his skate's not coming off the ice until after the hit.
He's got to adjust somewhat too. It's a collision.
I'm not going to be surprised, I guess, either way. I'd probably be more surprised if there is any disciplinary action on the basis.
I'd be very surprised. I don't think he's in any danger facing.
Look
that.
At the building's reaction. I talked about this after game one too. That building's lit.
Yeah.
That fan base is going nuts.
They're kind of a stupid fan base.
They are.
I'm not going to.
You know what? Up until about 10 years ago, if you went to a game there, it'd be a 50-50 split of whatever. If it were a Boston.
Sure.
If
That's
it
a
were
great
the,
fan base
If it
there.
Were the Bruins, if it, the Red Wings, oh my God. There's so many like Michiganders.
Up until four years ago, probably.
Yeah. Who have moved down to that part of the country. It's down there. It's like a part of, like close to the Tech Triangle there.
I don't like
it. Or in the Tech Triangle. It's like, it's a bunch of transplants living down there. Oh, the lifelong Carolina hockey fans.
Please,
give me a break.
Yeah, what?
Stop.
I don't like how lit the building got. I hope the garden's like that.
You said
Friday
it was
night.
Awesome.
Look at it. I'm watching it. I heard it.
A bunch of frauds.
Yeah, I think you can tell by some of the things they boo or look for calls on in the game.
Oh,
like,
you can
what?
Absolutely
what the hell?
It's an upper,
yeah,
but
no,
it's,
they're stupid. They're stupid.
They're stupid. It's a stupid
fan. It's
fine.
Band.
It adds to the game.
Whatever. You show up, you go to a game, good for you. I'm not telling anybody they're stupid for going to the game. I'm just saying they're
I'm
not exactly the most
up.
Intelligent fan.
Some of the things they applaud and boo.
Yeah, you're like, what?
You know, and I'll tell you what.
You think that's a penalty? What game are you watching?
And just to say, this is not like a total regional thing. I'll do a golf thing. You know how I love my golf metaphors here.
Yeah, sure.
Watch a U.S. Open or Ryder Cup, you know, gallery, what they cheer for as opposed to British Open.
Waste management.
Like, British Open, like somebody makes a par on a short par four after, you know, two putting from 20 feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this.
Right. They don't even cheer.
You make a par, you know, if it's Tiger Woods.
Are
make
you
it,
saying
make
that American golf fans are idiots compared to the Brits?
Pretty much.
That they are the Carolina Hurricane fans of golf.
Just Americans in general.
You won't hear it. You won't hear
the Americans.
Their reaction is...
That's why Hardy's going to Europe this summer.
Inappropriate.
Get away from us.
You know what? I might stay.
He might. You won't hear a Brit go, get in the hole!
Scotland.
Get in the hole!
I could live in Scotland.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
No, that's just...
You're going to have to take up drinking.
Look, I have people down there. You know, I have people in the
area.
Yeah,
no, I know that.
Nice people.
Nice.
I love Raleigh Durham specifically.
Stupid.
But that hot. But that was some of the stuff they're cheering for in that game.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Did you? Are you watching?
Yeah,
yes.
No,
that's a legit penalty. That was legitimately offside. Just relax.
And we had to do this because Zoe likes the fan base there so much.
You do.
They piss me off, I like it, but they piss me off. It turns me on in a way.
Right.
I like, look at the excitement there. Look at him. Look how much fun those fans are having.
Series is over, right?
Waving them
I mean, this thing's all done. Yeah, they're done.
Dead.
I was told no after
0-2. Not by me.
It's Hardy. Hardy, do you feel differently heading into tomorrow night after watching what you witnessed yesterday?
Nope. Not over.
Wow.
Good for you.
Are you more or less encouraged?
Less. But it's not over. So I feel a little bit differently. If I am a little more discouraged after last night, then yeah, my feelings have changed, but not that much.
They're not winning four.
Well,
now
they won't have Lindholm either.
They have to win four of the next five.
I mean, so they just lost one of their top two defensemen in an area that they are pretty thin to begin with.
They win tomorrow or Saturday? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Friday.
Tomorrow.
Friday. Oh, it is tomorrow.
It's Friday night.
Losing track of all the games. There's one like every
so
day.
So much excitement, Tom.
Right, the extra day is Celtics to Milwaukee. That's Saturday. Bruins are tomorrow.
They win the first game of the Garden. They're down 2-1 in the series. Is the series over?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
I'm not saying a 2-1 a series is over in general. I think this series is over.
Now you sound like a Hurricanes fan.
I don't like how you sipped that coffee.
I don't like how you did that.
That was very condescending.
I don't like the way you did that.
Yep. Okay. I don't like they got pushed around again last night. I don't.
They did.
I don't like the fact he came out at the beginning of the second period and gave up a goal right away.
This is the thing that really annoys Bruins
God
fans.
Dang.
Always.
He got beaten.
They look soft.
They look like they're chasing
them.
They
look soft in this series.
I didn't think soft. I think
Carolina's been more physical. Older. They've brought
tired.
It.
Tired.
They got an edge. They Carolina looked, plays with an
they
edge.
They look tired.
It looks like you're watching an old team.
After Bergeron scored the goal and he got hit up high. I don't know, something up on the chin or something.
You think
I don't
he's
know
coming
what
back?
Was. What, to play next year?
Yeah.
No.
No. I heard I heard a discussion about this on Touch and Rich this morning about if he were to go to another team to get a ring. I'm like,
I don't think
I don't think he's going to leave and go to another team.
No.
You know, would you begrudge him that? I'm like, I guess I wouldn't, but why would he feel compelled to do that? Doesn't he have a ring?
And he's been in the
cup final three times and he won one of them.
He's got family.
It's not
got
Ray
health.
Bourque.
No,
you know?
Family, health.
I think he'd be walking away to go home with his family. He's got kids and. Yep.
Say there's organizational changes. Say there's big organizational changes, depending on the outcome. Say they lose and they make big changes. Does he really want to come back in sort of a reset or retooling?
Depends
well,
on
I mean, doesn't this feel like one more shot for how many years in a row now? Like, oh, keep the band together, and the group keeps getting thinner. First it was Chara, then it was Krejci, then it was Rask. I mean, it's him and Marchand, the two guys left.
Yeah,
I don't know if he is wired in a way that we can relate to, or if he's Zdeno Chara, who just apparently wants to, above all things, play hockey.
I think he's the former.
I think so, too, but I don't know.
I think he could walk away and be very happy with the career that he had.
I think Chara's a wacko.
Between his Bruins career, his Olympic career, all of it. He could be happy.
And he should be.
Yeah, he should be.
You won a Stanley Cup. You went to three of them and you won one.
Selke winner. And come on.
Bruins fans unhappy with it. But as a player, you won. You were, you know,
we'll get there.
Considered the best, you know, the best two-way forward in the league for many, many years of your career. More, what do you want? You got to go.
And he probably still is, too. And he'd probably get paid a pretty good amount next year.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah. But to go chase a ring, for what?
Let's talk about game three of the series. Jeremy Swayman, yay or nay tomorrow night? What do you want? What do you want to see in net? Your thoughts on the hit last night? Your thought on where the Bruins are down 0-2? Phone lines open. We got two lines still remaining that are open at the moment. If you want to grab one, we'll talk to you next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30
minutes.
It's
like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Over the line left side, Jarvis. Squeezed off the puck by Carlo. He got rubbed out. Back of the net. Look out! Huge hit delivered. And Lindholm got buried by Svechnikov. And that draws a crowd in the right corner. Lindholm clearly woozy, tried to get up, then fell back down. Omar comes over to try and help him out. Dustin Stuck rushes out to attend to him, and in the right corner, you have two Hurricanes on one Bruin. How will this get administered?
Well, they're going to lose Lindholm. The puck dumped behind the net. Lindholm does not sense the hit coming from Svechnikov, and I tell you, Judd, it's hard, it's violent, it's clean. And the Bruins go right after him. Seems to be a little bit better now. And then a bunch of the Bruins went after Svechnikov, and they just announced it. We'll wait and see exactly what the call is. They're going to help Lindholm down to the locker room. I hate seeing anybody get hurt, but I will say that I thought it was a good hit.
Good job, Bob Pierce. One of the best in the game. Call it like you see it. It was a violent?
Yeah.
And I think part of the description here is he didn't get his head around in time, so you're not expecting.
Well, he had his head down coming around the net, which Bruce Cassidy said after the game that they had talked about not having some of those passes behind the net.
Jesus.
They had worked on it. Do we have that? I, I, I read the comment last night, but I didn't see him actually. I didn't see it in the post game. I just saw the quote on Twitter from one of the beat guys that they had discussed it or worked on it in practice, trying to avoid some of those situations.
Yeah.
And then they find themselves in one in the game, and he got absolutely trucked. Swayman game three. That's a yes for me.
You got to do it just to. Hey, you already changed the. You tried to change things up in the back end. You split your two defensemen up. Now the next thing you do is change goalies.
Yeah, I don't even say that as some sort of thing.
It's not Allmark's fault.
Allmark being horrific. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been horrible.
He hasn't been horrible, and he hasn't been great. But I mean,
but I would do it. $5 million. I would do it just for the sake of changing things up. Let's go.
Yeah,
see if you can get a spark out of it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, it's back up quarterback. Back. We're switching quarterbacks. Yeah. Spark. We're looking for a spark.
Yeah, looking for the spark.
You're down 0-2. You're running out of options.
Yeah, you got to do something. Now you're down a defenseman, too. So give it a try.
Yeah.
617-779-0985 the phone number.
Real quick, too. Their goalie goes down, and we'll get to the Pastrnak hit on him, too.
Yeah.
Like, their goalie goes down, so now their third goalie comes in.
That was a nothing hit.
And after he comes in, he stops 30 shots. Like, that's their third goalie. So what's the big deal if you put Swayman in? Hey, let's go. Try and switch it up here. We need something.
Looking for a spark. By the way, I thought Forbert's penalties last night were really not great. Especially the high check where he missed the first time and went back again with the end of his blade into the face.
Poorly timed.
Like, what the hell was that?
I don't love going from a...
We have to comment on this because we all got the tweets last night. People asking us to ban Derek Forbert from the show. There were at least a half a dozen of those.
The hold, I thought, was kind of ticky-tack.
Yeah.
I think that one, especially when you're on the penalty kill, if you're a ref, maybe you look the other way on that one. But
things are not looking great right now, and let's talk to you about it. 617-779-0985. Brian in the car on the hit of Hampus Lindholm. Brian.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? They teach you something, you know, when you're really, really young about playing hockey. And what is that? Keep your head up. Lindholm had his head glued to the puck or the ice as he came around the net. He got smoked, and guess what? Of course he got smoked. And just to Beatles' point, I would love to see the Bruins lay a hit like that.
Yes.
But guess what? They can't. They're soft.
McAvoy can. You see McAvoy do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody else. I mean, across the board, we are soft. We're a soft hockey team. The club needs an overhaul. And I hate to say it, I like Bruce Cassidy, but I think he's got to go. I think he's got to go. Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
All right, Brian.
I think Cassidy has to go. I don't think
if they get swept, I think he's gone. He's good as gone.
Really?
Yep. If they get swept, he's getting fired.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't discount it. I just don't know what necessarily that's going to change. Yeah. I mean, throughout the regular season, were you ever calling for Bruce Cassidy's head?
No, honestly,
no, we like you honestly.
I don't even. I think he's a great coach. I love Bruce Cassidy, but the nature of the sport is guys get fired. They do
a little quicker trigger.
Yeah, they just do. Well, they just get fired. They get fired after X amount of years. I think what you saw when Claude got fired and Bruce came in. You saw a response because you saw someone knew who was in charge and there was a real response. And I also think he's a good coach. I'm not trying to say that he's just some rah-rah cheerleader guy, but when you fire your coach and you bring in someone new, you just get a little bit of a change that can help. And I think there is a discussion about Don Sweeney's job that has been going on for what, a couple of years now, about the failures in the draft and is he the guy to be leading the front office? I think he's safe, and I think part of him being safe is firing the coach and putting blame on the coach.
And by the way,
I think that's what teams do. I don't think that's unique to this situation. I think a lot of executives do that.
By the way, to say that Lindholm somehow had it coming because he had his eyes glued to the puck, that's not accurate. You're going to get lit up sometimes when you play hockey, and I think he knew it was coming. I don't think he knew it was going
to
be
that
big of a hit. And in that situation, you're coming behind the net. You've got the puck. You're looking to pass. And you're telling me he didn't see that guy at all?
I don't think he saw it coming.
I don't think he saw that coming. But he knew there was somebody bearing down on him.
I mean, they're all over you the whole damn game.
Credit to Lindholm, by the way, for... Sorry, not Lindholm. To Allmark. for getting over to Lindholm.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. To keep him from falling backwards.
He kept trying to get up. And at one point, you saw Omar come over and sort of grab him, and he would have fallen again. And he braced his fall as he went down a second time. That could have been worse, though, than it was. He didn't know where he was. 617-779-0985. Mark is in Medford. Mark, you should have seen what I texted our group last night. Not only after the Lindholm injury, but after the McAvoy knee to knee, I said, this is the curse of Mark in Medford.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to say I feel somewhat responsible for all this. But I want to say the knee on knee to McAvoy, I think it was more egregious than the one on Lindholm, both by Svechnikov, by the way. And both times the Bruins ended up shorthanded because of it.
I know.
Which kind of just made me insane last night. But I want to point on one thing, guys. On the second goal by Carolina, okay, is this something new now in this league? You had a perfect triangle with Jacob Slavin as a defenseman at the top of the triangle and the point guy releasing the shot. And not one Bruin moved one guy away from Elmark. I watched that replay, and I'm like, you let them form a perfect triangle, one in the middle, one on each side, tip in, goal. That was disgusting.
Repeat of game one. Same stuff happened in game one. Traffic in front of the net, nobody moved them. Just planted their ass there and didn't move.
No, I mean,
I don't know how he's supposed to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, we sit here, and we could rip Elmark and say you need to go to Swayman and that, but... Yeah, he wasn't great. He wasn't putrid. Like, good luck seeing it. I mean, we're looking at the still here in front of the net.
From behind the net.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, the player's in front of the net.
Well, maybe Pastrnak just didn't want to create more traffic. Maybe he's...
he wanted to steer clear.
He wanted to be part of the solution, not adding to the problem. What am I going to do? Go clear this guy out and make it even tougher for Linus to see that shot coming? No. I'm going to get out of the way.
Let him do his thing.
I already ran the goalie.
Pete's in Rockland. Hey, Pete. No.
Pete.
How did that guy end up so injured and bleeding and unable to return?
I have no idea.
He's his own guy.
I can't figure it out. It was odd.
Let me tell you something. Not that I think this happened last night, but I did think about it for a moment, and I think it happens before. Did it seem like he was looking for the blood or maybe trying to help create some? Like, can I bite down on my cheek or lip hard enough to get some blood moving here? But we see weird things. We saw it earlier this season with a forward shot that ended up cutting the player on the front, hit him in the back of the helmet, and his forehead ended up bleeding. So, all right, fine, whatever. Pastrnak, he ran the goalie. He ended up out of the game. I have to just accept that it was a legitimate injury because they would not have pulled him if they didn't have to. But apparently I don't know how you end up bleeding.
That's what he's saying right there. If I could.
Did he hit himself with his own stick?
My God.
I don't know.
Did he hit himself with the butt
so
end of his
dramatic.
Own stick?
Him going to the ice, he flailing and throws himself onto the ice. How does he spin like that? That's not from the hit.
I've been hit.
Help, I've fallen, and I can't get...
He was affected by the Pastrnak. I think it was the skate by.
The skate by that kicks him in the helmet that's halfway off is what ended up injuring him. Not anything to do with Pastrnak. That's what happened. His own guy kicked him in the head.
No!
Ready? Now he's down on the ice, faking the injury, and as he's faking the injury, his own player skates by and kicks him in the head.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Because he's going over there to...
What is Pastrnak supposed to do? Let him get a puck shot? Right,
here comes
face?
The kick to the head. Keep it rolling, Fowler. Ready? Boom.
Oh.
And he takes the helmet off.
He kicks the helmet right off his head.
Because he's got to go over there and tune up Pastrnak. Yeah, there's a guy who deserves to have the bag beaten out of him.
That's an enforcer right there, Pastrnak. He's always dirty. He's always big hits from him.
Sure is.
You got to look out for. You got to be aware where he is at all times on the ice. You want to make sure you don't get hurt. Are the phones broken or are they okay?
Loaded.
Yeah, but I tried to go to Pete in Rockland. Pete, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, guys. My biggest takeaway from last night was the speed of that team, the Hurricanes. They were flying.
Yep.
And with that kind of speed, I don't think the Bruins have a chance. They were just all over them.
I don't either. They're the better team in this series. They look like the better team. They're going to win
fast.
This series. We'll get back to more of your calls. Phones are sorted out now. There was something glitchy with it a moment ago, but we are good to go. We're good to go now. Thank you, Milliken. Thank you for your work. We'll get back to your calls next.
Tyler.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Question, yeah. Does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Hub.
You never want to see guys get hurt. I don't like seeing our goalie get taken out either. You know, but one was legal, one's not. If you really want to break it down. Special's gone so much better at doing it, you know, within the way you're supposed to do it in the last year and a half. I guess that's all I can say about it.
Do you think they were deliberately trying to target your goalies with the hit on Ranta and the other two collisions and then the slash on Kachikov?
Well, what do you think? Can't get me more obvious.
How is Ranta? His collision?
I'll know more in a little while. Obviously he didn't come back, so that's not a good sign.
Brindamore on Ranta last night. Oh, not a good sign. His teammate kicked him in the head. Wasn't good. He couldn't come back. 617-779-0985. More of your Bruins thoughts on the phones right now with Nick in the car on the hit to Hampus Lindholm. Nick.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Big Nick?
So Carolina is clearly setting the tone and setting the pace with how they're playing physically and with their speed. And the only way that I'm with Hardy in seeing that this series isn't over yet is if they can flip that script at home and take over that tone. Yeah. Maybe the home ice will give them the ability to take over the tone, and then that's the only way that they have a chance here. But in regards to the big, McAvoy responded a little bit in the third period. He got Aho in the middle of the ice pretty clean, pretty good. That was a nice hit to see. But again, it's all in response.
He's the only one.
He's the only one, yeah. But even still, like, they need to try and take over the tone with the big hits. And real quickly, just on the Red Sox, I know you guys are going to get to them later, but I love seeing Xander doing what he's doing right now. He is sticking it to entire management right now with how he is playing. I hope he wins MVP and takes all that quote-unquote leverage that they tried to take with Trevor Story and shoves it right back to him.
Oh, it'll be a fun couple years after this. Huh?
Only consistent player on the team. He's the only guy.
I don't know if I agree with the tone angle of that, because if Carolina is more physical, right?
I think they're bigger and faster.
If you just admit they have the edge in size, physicality, all that stuff, you go out there and try and match it.
Who are you matching it with?
Isn't that what the Penguins did to you in the playoffs a few years ago when the Bruins had the size and the toughness advantage? The Penguins said, we're going to take their game to them. And you ended up sweeping a better team because they tried to play your game. The Bruins are going to have to figure out what way it is that we're going to win this and not try and match them physically if you know going in you're not up to it. It could, as bad as that looked last night, if they try something that they're just not suited and built for, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Because, again, last night, that game wasn't out of control.
No, and everybody's like, oh, you don't have the scoring. And like Felger and Maz yesterday, and I think it was Felger said it too, like, name another team that has your type of top four end talent on its two lines that has just can't produce other than like maybe, I think he said Colorado. Like that team's, they're loaded, but you got Pasternak, you got Marchand, you've got Bergeron, you've got Taylor Hall. That's pretty good. It's a pretty good grouping on your first couple lines. Like, those guys should be able to produce more. They're not. Nobody's going to the net. Nobody. I mean, Bergeron got one yesterday, but, like, we need more of that. Need more of that from your top end guys. Like, you have more top end talent than you think.
Frank is in Charlestown. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Beetle. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, just a quick point. You know, I thought it was a clean hit. You know, he laid the lumber. You know, we've already taken fighting out of the game. Let's not take out body contact either. On top of that, you know, McAvoy, do you guys really think, like, at the end of McAvoy's career, he's going to go down as one of, like, the top Bruins defensemen, like a Ray Bourque or like a Zdeno Chara? I just don't see it with him. He lacks physical toughness sometimes where I want him to play the body. He's great with the puck and scoring ability is there, but I just don't really see him having that, like, leadership and the physical, like, you know, ability to take over a game that I hope for out of a defenseman. I'll let you guys discuss.
Oh, I think it's really hard to do that as a defenseman, period.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the leadership's there with him. You know, I think he's a tough kid. I mean, you got a long way to go when you're comparing him to those two guys.
Yeah, he's not going
to
be Ray Bourque. Nope, you're right. Not going to be Ray Bourque.
Hall of Famer.
He's not going to be Zdeno Chara.
Hall of Famer.
I mean, pretty right. What? You're pretty right about, yeah, you're right on. He's not going to be Zdeno Chara either.
Long way away from putting him in the same conversation with those guys. So just, you know, I'm not saying he's bad.
No, he's never going to be Ray Bourque. I'm sorry. He's never going to be that.
Which is not an insult.
Yeah, not an insult. So, okay. I mean, that doesn't mean he's bad or he's not good enough or that he is not a guy you want to build with. I don't think that's the case. Let's get one more in here. We're going to talk to Ime Udoka, Celtics head coach. That's coming up. We're excited about that. Will's in Weymouth. Hey, Will.
Yes, I think with the inevitable idea that, you know, if we get swept especially, someone might have to go between Cassidy and Sweeney. I think it's in Bruce Cassidy's best interest to throw Swayman out there, at least try everything he can do, because there's nothing Don Sweeney can do from this point out to try to save his job.
Yeah, and I actually think his job is safe. I don't think he's in danger.
You think Sweeney's job is safe?
I think it's probably safe. That's not to say it should be safe.
There's a lot of people that think that it's flipped, that, okay, maybe this is a talent thing. Like, on paper, is that team, those teams more talented? Are the teams you're facing more talented?
Yeah.
Then that's about Sweeney picking a talent, and it's out of the coach's hands.
I would think none or both.
I don't think that Don Sweeney would be trading first-round picks. And, by the way, he did a good deal with Lindholm. I don't think that he would be out there trading first-round picks if his job was on the line at the deadline. I don't think that would have happened. And so is his job in danger in the next, you know, couple of years? Like, his contract's up, so what do? They have to address it. I bet he gets re-upped.
We haven't spoken about that. Yeah, it's out of my hands.
But maybe not. Maybe they just were like, yeah, we approved the deal because we think that's a good deal. Do that deal with the first round pick and you're out of here at the end of the year if it doesn't go well. Yeah. Maybe they're both gone. But I think Cassidy's in danger right now. And I think the caller is right. Will, you're right. Do everything you can do as a coach to try and change things up and get a spark out of this team going into game three. We'll talk to Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. He's getting ready for game three of his series against the Bucks. We'll talk to him next.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Ime Udoka joins us now. Ime, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Great game in game two. You did it without Marcus Smart. What's the latest on his injury status?
He's feeling better every day. We'll get some movement in today, see how he feels. Obviously, tomorrow and next day as well of rest. So these 3 days have been big for him, and we're anticipating he'll be good to go for game three.
So it was more of a problem of the leg than the shoulder. I mean, when he left the court, the shoulder looked like, you know, he had no movement in that arm.
Yeah, that was just a stinger, and he was good to go by halftime. So that was just a quick hit that he took. I think he's had a few of those in the past, but that kind of goes away pretty quickly. It was a thigh contusion. I think he got hit twice, one time really hard, and those were stiffened up at halftime and had him restricted as far as movement-wise in the second half. And so much more of that than the shoulder. The shoulder was fine in the next 5 minutes.
We saw the game that Grant Williams gave you in game two, and doing it on both ends, obviously. Were you pleased with his game, and were you at all surprised by the way he stepped up?
Oh, of course we were pleased with his very efficient game. Obviously 6 for 9 threes and, you know, 21 points plus 22, you know, on the plus minus. But it's just as important, obviously, as the defensive end where he's taking the challenge. And something he's done well all year. His versatility continues to show for us, whether he's guarding guys on the perimeter, Kevin Durant, and switching on to Irving last series, and then guarding one of the toughest guys inside as far as Antetokounmpo goes. And so what he's done for us has allowed us to maintain what we do with the starting unit. When Al goes out or Rob or whoever it may be, he just comes on in and carries on what we're doing and gives us tremendous versatility on both ends.
Yeah, they were making they were talking about him on the broadcast because they had a mic'd up moment with him on the bench, and they started to discuss sort of his personality and how, for a young guy, he seems to have a voice. Would you agree with that assessment from the broadcast the other night?
For good or bad, yes, he has a voice.
Well, when you say it that way, like.
He's very talkative, very opinionated, but on the floor is what we need. We need the communication, very vocal, and we encourage that. And like I said, off the court, he doesn't stop either. So we take it with a grain of salt, and we'll take it if he's that vocal on the court.
What's his most unorthodox opinion that you could share with us?
That he should get plays ran for him like Jason and Jaylen do.
Know your spot.
That is unorthodox.
A little bit.
Right. He wants some play. I call one play for him this year against Oklahoma City when Gilgeous Alexander was on him. He got a post up and Gilgeous blocked him at the rim, and that was pretty much his one attempt.
All right, last one for you on Williams. You've been around this league a long time. You played, you coach, you see guys, and you know. And I'm not body shaming him, but are there times during the game where you look at him and you say, "Boy, how do you defend him that way? How the hell is he knocking down these shots?" Do you turn and smile
sounds
at the bench
like you're
at
body
times?
Shaming.
I will know. You know, I mean, yeah, you see, look at Giannis. I mean, like, he's not defends him well.
Yeah, I get it.
Does he surprise you at times? Yeah.
No, but his versatility has always been there. I saw him in college at Tennessee, and so he's a guy that, for a shorter guy that has that leverage, Dennis Rodman, like, he can get under the big guys and holds his ground well as far as that. And then he has quick feet, you know, for and due to his size. I mean, he's only 6'6", or whatever the case may be, but he can move his feet well enough on the perimeter. And that's the versatility we need, but he's strong enough to guard guys inside. Now, he may have a height disadvantage at times, but he makes up for that in his toughness, strength, and you know, he's a really cerebral guy out there that studies his opponents and knows how to get under the skin and touch them physically, and he's been doing a great job all year.
You mentioned rebounding in addition to the shooting, which was much better in game two. I thought the rebounding was outstanding. What do you attribute to the improvements in both those areas?
Just the way they hurt us in game one. You know, they only have 5 offensive rebounds this game for 9 second chance points as opposed to 19 in game one. We did a good job in the first half of 7 in game one, and then they had 12, and those really hurt us down the stretch. So just added effort on that end, understanding that the defensive possession isn't finished until we get that rebound, and that helped aid us in transition. So all those things played together, but to hold them to only 9 and 5 offensive rebounds is a big point of emphasis coming in, and we obviously improved that. This is a team that averages 13.5 a game on the season, so that's a big part of what they do, getting those extra possessions.
The lead in the first half, a big part of the win. What happened offensively in the second half that slowed you down?
I think The ball movement got halted a little bit. We weren't as crisp getting off the ball, played in the crowd a little bit more. But we also missed some pretty good shots that we liked. You know, as they as Antetokounmpo started to put his head down, get the basket, the pace slowed a little bit. There felt like there was all these challenges going on and reviews, and so the pace got halted a little bit. But the more they score, obviously it takes us away from our pace and getting up the court quicker. And so because he attacked and got to the free throw line, that hurt us a little bit in the third quarter when it was 26-18 on their part, but we got it back in the fourth, guarded extremely well, held them to 20 and got our scoring back up to 26.
Do you feel as an offense that, you know, your production, especially beyond the arc and that point differential you compared to them, do you think that's sustainable?
Yeah, well, the way they guard is they want to protect the paint at all costs. They give up three wide open three-pointers. And the thing I stressed after game one was not to take any contested threes because we don't have to. Multiple penetration, multiple paint touches will get you whatever shot you want. So, obviously, we like to attack the basket. And, you know, I think we've still missed guys at the rim quite a few times in both games. But the multiple penetration was a point emphasis. You saw the ball moving side to side. They get to scramble mode, and then you'll get whatever shot you want at the basket or from the three-point line. And we have confidence in our shooters. Like, we took 50 in game one. 10 or so were contested. I told the guys, we could have drove these closeouts and got a better look, and we did that in game two. So we'll take what they give us as far as that. And I think our screen setting, our setup by the ball handler was much better, and we got downhill and got to our mid-range and to the basket more. So we'll take that balance as like we did in game two.
All right, what changes from a coaching perspective when you're on the road versus playing at home at the Garden?
Well, same thing. You want to come up, get off to a great start the way we did in game two. You know, take the crowd out of it, but also – you know, kind of impose your will from the start. We felt we were back on our heels in game one, and then we flipped that and kind of put them on their heels in game two. And so we want to get out to a great start, obviously. We understand how they're going to guard. We've guarded extremely well in this series, 86 last game, but even the 101 in game one with how poorly we played offensively and the turnovers and transition baskets we gave them to still hold them to 101. Our half-court defense has been really good, so we got to continue that, focus on certain guys like we did in game two, and make it hard on all their shooters. So we'll carry our defense to the road. We've done that all year. It's just a matter of really playing crisp and sharp on offense and not aiding them in any way by poor offense or turnovers.
All right, Ime. Appreciate the time. Best of luck in game three.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Ime Udoka joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We have headlines here. They only take a moment. We're right back. There are no commercials. Stick around.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.